Our scripture for today comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 1. Here are these words. Now concerning meat that has been sacrificed to a false god, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes people arrogant, but love builds people up. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was in eighth grade, my family moved to Australia. So my father was a professor at Texas A&M University and earned a sabbatical leave to edit a health textbook. And so we found a place in Newcastle, Australia, which is about 2 hours north of Sydney. So after my first semester of eighth grade, we flew from like Houston to LA, LA to Hawaii to New Zealand, had a few weeks in New Zealand, and then ended up in Australia. Our first apartment was on a cliff overlooking the beach. It was pretty great. It was pretty great to see nature in that way. I was used to living in College Station, Texas, which is the furthest away from a beach as possible. It's just flatten it as Kaylee walks out. So she walks out as I can make fun of College Station. But we had some good experiences. We went to see the Great Barrier Reef in the late 90s when it was much greater than it is today. And there was a lot more reef. We went to the outback and to Uluru and Ayers Rock and got to see those. Got to be attacked by flies in a lot of places. But it was interesting. But I had to go to high school there. And so high school starts, is a January through December. And so I started high school year 9 there at Newcastle High School, which is the same place the band Silverchair went to high school, if you remember them from the 90s. They were like 13-year-old high school kids from Australia who got a number one record around the world. But that was I went to the school of Silverchair. High school wasn't that great. And, you know, being a 14-year-old boy is not great most places, but it was tricky there because of this thing that happens in Australia called tall poppy syndrome, which I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but so tall poppies, if you have a poppy field. And so this is where the metaphor comes from. You have a poppy field. If there's a flower that grows too tall, you have to cut it off so that you can do the harvest in a uniform manner. And so tall poppy syndrome is the way that, certain, I'm not going to throw all Australians under the bus, but at least a lot of them would cut people down if they looked like they were trying too hard and cut them down to size. You cut off the tall poppies. I remember there was a cover of Time magazine in Australia, and it was like, tall poppies, why we love to cut them down. And that happened to me as a 14-year-old boy, as someone I was not really particularly excellent at school, but I kind of tried, and they didn't like that. And so I started getting bullied in a way I'd never experienced before. I figured out that if you bruise an apple without breaking its skin and throw it at someone, it'll explode. Because it happened to me, it was a challenging time. You know, it's this vulnerable time in your life. This when people are tearing you down. Many of us have experienced that in different ways. You don't have to go to Australia to be bullied. It can happen in all sorts of environments. It can happen at school, at work. It can happen online in a lot of ways of people tearing you down. When what God is calling us to do is to build people up. To build people up, but what does that look like? My friends, we are starting a new series in the season of Easter called Works of Love. It's the pretty picture on the front of your bulletin of all the different works of love. We're going to go through this letter, 1 Corinthians, especially that famous passage from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love believes all things. So we're going to start here in this strange text in the middle of the letter on 1 Corinthians 8. Now, the chapter before, if you ever read, Paul, 1 Corinthians 7, is one of a really kind of odd chapter in Scripture. Paul says, now I am explicitly responding to the practical situation of this place. And then he goes on and on about how, you know, God wants you to dedicate yourself and be celibate and not be married. And so that's the best thing for everybody. But if you have to, I guess you should get married. So that's what Paul like pretty much explicitly says in 1 Corinthians 7. Not a lot of sermon series on that one. And I'm not preaching about that one today. So I'll talk about that another time. If you want to talk about 1 Corinthians 7, I'd love to dig into it. But that's not today's sermon. So Paul is responding to the situation in the Corinthian church. And then in 1 Corinthians 8, he again is responding to a situation. This one is concerned meat, with meat that has been sacrificed to idols. You know, if we are saved by grace, if we are free from the Mosaic law to eat whatever we want, what about the meat that's been sacrificed at the pagan temple? Are we allowed to eat that, Paul? It's like, come on, give us an answer. So it's a tricky question, and Paul's like, okay, you know, you're asking me this question. And then he kind of, in a very Pauline fashion, just goes in a very different direction and basically says, you know, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge can lead to arrogance. Knowledge can lead to arrogance, but love builds up. Building up is a funny word, as you know, some translations are strengthened, but I like that construction metaphor, that build up is a unique thing. You don't build up when you're remodeling your house. You're not building it up. If you're adding a new addition, you don't build it up. You have to build up from the foundation. You have to build up from the ground. That is what God is showing us. That is what we are called to do. Knowledge is good. Knowledge comes from God, but humans have this amazing ability to distort what is good, to twist it and turn it, to make it about us and not about God. That, I think, is what Paul is getting to. The difference between what puffs up and what builds up is love. Love is the ground that we can build up upon. Love is the building that builds up. To build up is to build up in love. But more so, to build up in love presumes that love is already present in the people around us. And when we claim that love builds up, we admit that we do not. We are not the ones who build people up. Only the unloving person thinks that you can build someone up by controlling them. Trying to control another person does not come from love. Even our children, at some point, we cannot control them. They are not robots. And if we never let them stumble, they will never be able to stand. Love is what builds up. We can protect them, we can mitigate the greatest of harms, but we have to let them go. Love also means not being jealous of others. The Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard said that jealousy is the devil's martyrdom. And martyrdom in the classical sense is just a witness. And so it's not just dying for something, it's witnessing to something. Jealousy witnesses to the works of the devil. And I love that, the power of that. That's what gets back to the whole point of the tall poppy syndrome, was a different way of jealousy, of dealing with jealousy, of how do you deal with people around you? Oh, you think you're better than me, and that kind of thing. That's what Steve would say that, but that kind of, how do you understand that and see that tears at the foundation of what God has offered to us? The season of Easter, through the power of Christ's resurrection, we can let go of those not loving things in our life. We can let go of jealousy. We can let go of tearing people down. We can let go, even though, you know, I have to let that go. Those little bits of jealousy that may make me look at another church and see, like, oh gosh, that parking lot looks full, or think about the other things going on. But before I can let those go, I need to name them. I need to name that and admit to myself and offer it to Jesus. I need to admit that I have been unloving in that. I need to receive grace and forgiveness and then let myself be built up by love. So that's the issue of jealousy and the devil's martyrdom of witnessing to what is not from God. But we are not alone. Literally, you are not alone right now. Even if you are watching online at home or listening to the podcast later in the week, you are not alone. We live in community with others. There are other people in our lives, people whom we claim to love. So how can we get to the point of building up instead of puffing up? What does that look like? We can talk about this word love over and over again. I think, first of all, we need to remember that to build someone up is to build them up on love. That is the foundation. We can understand this through the person of Jesus Christ, as John explains in 1 John, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love." And then he gets to the point. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. This is it. This is how love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his Son into the world so that we can live through him. This is love. It is not that we loved God. It doesn't start from here. It is not that we love God, but that God first loved us. Love is what Jesus does. Love is who Jesus is. When others see a leper, Jesus sees a child of God. When others see an adulterous woman by a well, Jesus sees a child of God. Love is not a choice or a feeling. Love is not a splendid many things. The love that is God has been revealed to us. God sent his Son into the world so that we can live through them. It is not that we love first, but that God first loved us. That is how we can be built up. The foundation of love is God's love for us. It is already there. The foundation to be built up in your children, in yourself, in your neighbor, in the random people online, it is already there. It is God's love. We see that at Easter. Easter is the season of encountering the risen Lord, and everyone who encounters Jesus is changed. In all of the gospel passages after the resurrection, everyone who meets Jesus is changed and transformed. And if the change is going to last, we have to put it into practice. The Apostle James writes about this and says, if you love without putting it into practice, it's like looking at them into the mirror and then looking away and then immediately forgetting what you look like. It's like having this experience of God, this great experience of worship at Easter, and then if we don't put it into practice, we forget what that looks like. We twist it and turn it. If we don't intentionally spend time loving people and building people up, we are going to forget how to do that and fall into old habits. We're going to start tearing people down. And we don't have to do it all alone. We do it together. We need to practice this Jesus love together. This is why the whole church exists to begin with. This is why we are here to worship together and serve together. This is why God has called us as a community to exist right here overlooking the lake. This is why this church was founded. This is why we are still here. To be a place where people see Jesus and their lives are transformed. And they go forth and they practice it. And they do it. Even when calls happen in their life, they do it. They still do it. Maybe it is calling someone. And that could be, it's a great thing that sometimes it's hard to connect with. Maybe God is literally telling you to call someone right now. Maybe God is telling me to call someone. I have someone I need to call this day to share love this day. Maybe it is a Sunday school class that's going to come up. Maybe it is a small group that we're going to start. Maybe it's a new outreach ministry. Maybe you want to volunteer more at the pharmacy. Maybe God is calling you to step forward and put that love into practice. God's still calling you. You have been called to build people up, and it starts with the people in your life, but it doesn't end there. No, it doesn't. It doesn't end there. It includes your neighbors. It includes the people around you. It also includes the people on the internet, the neighbors on the internet, the people beyond the screen. It includes how we build people up, includes how we write comments and how we read comments, how we see social media posts, how we see other people, how we judge whether or not love is already present in these people. God doesn't call us to be righteous posters online. That's not the call for you this day. That's not why the phone's ringing. For you to go online and be the holiest person you can be online and call everyone out on that. That's not the point. God is calling us to be righteous people who build other people up in love, no matter what or where we find them. God gives us the freedom to build others in love, to build others up on love. We don't need to cut down the tall poppies in our life. We don't need to be jealous of the people in our life. We can name that and let it go. We don't need to do any of this alone. We don't need to be the devil's martyr. We don't need to witness to the things that aren't God. We are already children of God. You are already children of God. Love is already present. You don't need to make an addition to your soul. You don't need to remodel your soul. God is already there with you. You are loved and you are forgiven. And God has space for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.